to the One Mind Dogs From the Dog's Perspective podcast. I'm your host, Noora Keskiväri, and on this show, we explore personal dog journeys and uncover how we can become the best possible dog owners. From the dog's perspective, of course. I'm personally super passionate about understanding the dog's perspective, and with that, helping others to have a happy and balanced life with their dogs. It is always very inspirational to hear from others, their journey with their dogs, and learning more about the dog's perspective. Today, our guest is Julie Fleetham from the United States of America. Julie has done agility for over 20 years with her dachshunds. She loves the fact that dogs are keeping her young and active. Well, I can't wait to hear more about her journey. So welcome to the podcast, Julie.
Hi, thank you.
So let's get started. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I live in Minnesota and I've lived here all my life, went to school here. And I grew up actually around dachshunds. I didn't ever think I would have one. We had a golden retriever when I was growing up. So I figured I'd have a big dog. And I did for a while, and then I lost them and I got a dachshund. So she's actually been my best agility dog so far.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. We will get back to this dachshund topic later. I am super interested in that, of course. Well, if you go back to your childhood, like in more depth, do you remember when did you get for the first time the thought that, hey, one day I will have my own dog?
I think it was when we had our golden retriever. She only lived until 4 because she had bone cancer. But I knew then how loving and compassionate and just all around happy they always seem to be. And I just love that about them. And so I thought, when I can support myself and take care of one, I will get myself a dog too. So that was my plan. And I wasn't able to do it until I was out of college for a while. I got a cat. It wasn't as much fun.
Yeah, I don't know anything about cats.
I didn't either. I like drink milk. I didn't want to.
Gosh. Well, what's there like in dogs that inspires and motivates you?
They just always seem to, at least the ones that I've had, they always seem to want to please and do whatever it is that you want, and they're be around you and be happy. It's fun, you know. It keeps me busy, and I like that because I get bored pretty easily.
Right. Well, with dachshunds, you will not get bored. That's what I learned as well.
No.
One of my dog's method is all about the dog's point of view, and everything we teach is about seeing the world from their perspective. And I always emphasize that for many new dog owners, especially, it's also like educating people to have fun so that the dog is also having fun. So it's fun also from the dog's perspective. And in this podcast, we want to share these great real life stories about how learning more about the dog's perspective has actually changed the life. Julie, you have joined One Mind Dogs community, I think about 10 years ago. Correct me if I'm wrong. Long time ago, anyway.
It's probably not that long ago, but it's more like I took some trainings a while ago with One Mind, the 4 sessions of trainings. And I couldn't believe the differences in the way that I was handling things and the way that they could be handled for more success and more speed, I would say, tighter corners, that kind of thing. And so, it was a very, very different learning about not me not handling the obstacle and letting the dog handle the obstacle. So that was pretty funny. It was good. It was phenomenal. I learned a lot. And I've been going to class. Thankfully, my instructor is an instructor at the school I go to. And so she keeps pushing me every week, which is great.
Well, that's great. When you have learned more about the dog's perspective and One Mind Dogs method, what has been there the biggest aha moment or eye opener moment so far?
I would say how far ahead of time the dog needs to know what's coming. I used to, and I can't say that I'm perfect about this every time now, but I used to just go from obstacle to obstacle to obstacle and not think about, oh, that we're going to have to do a 90 degree turn. So I'm going to have her slow down before that so she can turn without overshooting by, you know, 5 yards or something. And so that's been the biggest difference for me, which I know seems funny with a dachshund, but she runs like a big dog sometimes.
Right. By the way, I'm always adding videos if it's possible of the guests. So I would be love to put out some links to your dachshunds on the
run.
Oh,
sure.
So that would be great. So we'll get back to those later. But okay. So that the listeners also know that there will be some videos in the description. So go ahead and have a look at them. So in general, when we talk about dog training, it's a long journey and we all have our successes, but we always have some struggles and hurdles. It would be great if you could share with us some of your hurdles that you have faced and how did you overcome those?
I still am struggling with this, but we're getting better because, again, I never thought I'd have to learn this with a dachshund, was distance handling. So because she's so fast. So I'm still working on making, you know, keeping her, getting her to go ahead and do something without me right there. And she's gotten much better. And we do practice, you know, some of those kinds of things every, you know, once every month or so, because there's different things to do at each class. But, and I also try to just do it on my own. At times I have some jumps in the yard, but that's not the same as a full course. So That's actually probably been the biggest challenge for me at this point, since I didn't have to learn it before.
Yeah, what is there? I want to go a little bit deeper in that, because this is also about the having a small dog topic. So how do you notice that that's a challenge for you? And do you have any reasons why it is a challenge for you?
Well, my dog is very much a mama's girl. And so she's always, and people have noticed that when she takes a jump, she will look back at me every time. And so for her to have the confidence to go out and do something, even though I'm staying away, I think is still a struggle for her. We went to CPE Nationals, which I don't know if you've ever heard of, the Canine Performance Events is a thing in the US. And it was a distance challenge out to the weave poles at about 20 yards away. And she just looked back at me like, are you crazy? I can't go that far from you. And there were hardly any people that got that. And that was, you know, a very difficult example, but she'll do a tunnel. You know, those are pretty straightforward. But I think she just really isn't as confident as I'd like her to be, is probably what I would say, because she will always check back. So that's my theory. I don't know.
Yeah, but it's always great to see the progress. So when you have these sort of challenges, and there are lots that anyone can do. So I am looking forward to the videos. Well, on the other hand, we, of course, have highlights in our lives as well, and also with dogs, but they can be anything. So what do you think are your top highlights with your dogs in, like, overall?
Wow, that's very broad. Just the fact that they want to play with me in doing this and seem to be having a really good time. She will bark at me if I get in her way, like, you're move. I'm on my way through here. And so and sometimes going through the weed pole, she kind of like she's having a good time. So I think that's what makes it the most fun for me, is that I know that she's also having a really good time.
Well, that's the best, of course. Well, when we think about learning more about the dog's perspective in training and with dogs in general, how has that impacted your life? Is there something outside agility that it has impacted as well?
I guess not. I was going to say yes, but no, because it just impacts the way that I teach agility, because that's also agility. But I would say, I guess it helps me having in some of the conversation that I have with people, thinking about things from another perspective. I mean, not necessarily the dog's perspective, but it could be your neighbor's perspective and how they might see something. Like, maybe I see that my neighbor's side of the yard is kind of crappy. Well, they probably see mine as the same way. I don't know, you know, that kind of thing.
That's actually an interesting perspective, but it's true. So that also educates us in many ways to see the other perspectives and not only the own one. I always want to ask this from the guests because I am really passionate about educating new dog owners and people who are getting their first dogs or their pet dogs. And so it would be great to hear what would be your tips for anyone, for example, your friend who is getting their very first dog. What would you tell them?
First of all, to make sure to socialize the dog with other dogs. I had a COVID puppy and she has some issues because I didn't get her out with people and dogs enough. But, you know, spend time with the dog, even just games and, you know, obedience things at home, even engaging their brain in things and not thinking that just letting them out in the yard is exercise is another thing. Like they need to actually engage in something, not just stand there outside. And taking them for, you know, getting them exercise. I feel like that's really important in terms of, but maybe not too much exercise. When I first got my dachshund, Jasmine, I took her for runs with me. And so I made her an athlete. She will run forever now because I did that. And maybe not that long, but at least out for short walks.
Yeah, that's a good, that's a really good point. So not everyone thinks about that sort of engagement as well. So it's really good point. Well, Julie, as you are doing dog sport with small dogs, I also started the whole world of dog agility with small dogs. I used to have Parson track Russells. So
those are good.
So, and I could tell a lot of that. But this is your story and your showtime. So
I know, but it would be fun to hear. So I'll stay
tuned. I can mention
someday.
Yeah, I can mention some things. So because I started agility directly from Janita Leinonen. So she was my first teacher, and that was the only way I knew how to do agility. And then I had my Parson track Russell, and it's like, hey, this is like almost 20 years ago, almost.
Okay.
So small dogs, I was training my small dog exactly the same way that they were training their border collies. And that dog became a miniature border collie. And when I went to competitions for the first time, I was so surprised that the other dogs, the mini dogs, were not doing the same things at all. So that was surprising for me. So, but I know that nowadays it's totally different game, and the small dogs are really well trained. So that's really cool. But that's a funny little detail from my history. But typically, people have larger dogs and many see also when they see any videos or photos, typically it's a border collie or somewhat. Is there something that you would like to share with our listeners? And many only see the big dogs and how the training is, and is it something different? Or and especially if you can share us some positive stories, like encouraging people also with small dogs to act and start doing agility. Because first of all, if you think about One Mind Dog's foundation for agility, you don't need any obstacles. You can start right in the living room or during the walks or wherever. So there is no limit for who can start doing it. So please share whatever comes to your mind.
Sure. It's funny because there are a lot of people that I talk to about agility and like, wow, I can't move. I have bad knees or I have blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, you don't have, you know, depending on the kind of dog you get, you could stand in the middle of the ring and point at everything, you know, and they'll work far away from you. But, you know, for me, it really depends on the actual dog. So the first dachshund I had, she would do the things I asked her to do, but she was not anywhere near as interested as Jasmine is. And here she is. Hi. I said her name. And so I think it just depends on how interested the dog is. If they're in the backyard running around like crazy, I feel like they probably would enjoy agility because they seem to be a happy, active dog. And my other dog, I should have known, she would sit at a tree and just stare looking for squirrels. And so I feel like anybody really could at least try it. And if the dog, you know, doesn't like it, then you don't have to continue. But it's something that I think is good for us as well in terms of staying active and using your brain to think about, you know, what would be the best way for me to get there and for the dog to get there, you know, the path that makes the most sense. So I guess that's, don't know if I really answered your question, but take that.
That was great. I can actually add up there because if I, like, I started to imagine what you were to say, but also like to inspire our listeners. Maybe not all of you listeners are aware of agility that much. So the foundation has nothing to do with the obstacles. So first of all, it's just if your dog can eat from a cup, that's the start. So that's the start. And then with only that, you are able to actually teach the small dog as well to, for example, send it to go around a tree. And you can add the distance gradually as long as you want and as far as you want to. So there are no limits. So all dogs can do that. And so it's just so easy. So many people start maybe thinking a little bit too complex, like from, I don't know, even one person who is listening to this is taking the dog out and actually trying out and letting us know, because I want to hear from that experience.
Yeah, I think once you see someone actually doing a full course, they think, oh, I could never do that. And that's probably where the block would come in, is my guess.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. But it's exactly the same with anything. For example, what should I now tell? Well, for example, cheerleaders, they are doing these groups of athletic people doing this different kind of shows and really like difficult things, but they didn't start from there. They started from somewhere else. So yeah. no one is like mastering the things from the beginning. So that's
exactly.
And I feel that with dog training, I think the general challenge is that it's difficult for us humans to see that you need to split a skill of like dog's behavior into smaller bits. If you think about pet dogs, for example, but also advanced dog owners. And that's another question, because then you expect that your dog is already knowing something that you haven't yet even trained.
Yes.
I have this one big question to everyone, because the world of dogs is changing so rapidly. The number of dogs is growing, especially in the United States. It's crazy. If there's one thing that you could change in the world to make dogs' lives better, what would that be?
Oh, wow. I wish that they could better communicate what's going on with them. I mean, I know that, you know, they try with their behaviors. But that's partly why I did not become a veterinarian, is I thought, how can you know when they're in pain? And how can you know that they're sick or whatever it is? I just wish that there were an easier way for them to let us know what's happening inside, so that we can make sure that they're happy and content and fulfilled. And right. That's really broad, I realize, but that's my dream world.
Well, exactly. But that's to the point. I also agree with that. So that was really well said. Hey, Julie, now we are going to the end of this podcast episode. Is there anything I didn't ask you and you would like to share with us?
Just that it's a constant learning. Agility is a continuous learning process. It's funny because the people that I run with and compete with, they'll say, oh, that was really cool. I wish I could do that. I just don't, you know, I've never tried it that way or whatever. And I'm thinking, you know, you just started doing this like 3 years ago and I've been doing this for 20 years. And it takes a long time to get to a certain place. And granted, I've had different dogs, but learning how to handle each dog is different. And also learning all the techniques and, you know, seeing things from the dog's perspective, for example, as opposed to handling obstacle to obstacle, are things that can be learned, you know, along the way. I didn't even consider that fact for so many years. So I feel like it's, if people would just remember that it's a continuous learning process, that would be helpful.
Definitely. Hey, Julie, thank you so much for being our guest today. and sharing your interesting stories and dachshund. I can't wait to see the videos.
Thank you very much for having me. It was fun. I did share some videos because when I joined the online community, I got some, I put them on YouTube and got some critiquing. So I'll have to share those with you. I'll send you a couple links.
Perfect. Perfect. And to all our listeners, thank you for tuning in to the One Mind Dogs From the Dog's Perspective podcast. We hope you have gained inspiration for your own life with your dogs and for learning more about the dog's perspective. Remember to follow One Mind Dogs on social media and sign up for that podcast newsletter to stay updated on our latest episodes and exciting content. We would love to hear from you, of course. So tag One Mind Dogs and share your special moments with your dogs with us. See you in the next episode.